Last week, last Friday, actually, I attended the Interfaith Network for Mental Illness, INME. I attended their annual conference. And we, the fellowship, has been members of INME for years and sponsors this conference. And it's something I'm very proud of in addition to our other mental health work. I went to the conference this year almost by habit. I go almost every year, and I usually get something out of it. But this year, the topic didn't grab me per se. It seemed to be about mental health for veterans. And only having a small percentage of veterans in this particular congregation, whom I experience as equally healthy or crazy as the rest of us, I didn't see it as feeling as relevant to my ministry as I have as some of the other topics. But when ILIF seminary professor Carrie Doring started talking about moral injury, I felt an inner shock, what we sometimes call the shock of recognition, when you think something isn't about you and it actually is. Moral injury was a term that was developed by psychiatrist Jonathan Shay in his many years of working with veterans. But it has captured the attention of the religious community as well. Many of us might be familiar with the term post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD, which was also observed first amongst veterans, and then we began to see its applications in the broader world. Moral injury is connected but slightly different. It's connected but different. PTSD is related to specific events, and they trigger a fear response kind of in the back of the brain that can get re-triggered when something similar to that event happens in our lives. Moral injury is a little bit more abstract than that. It occurs when one is required to violate what they know is right or operate within a system where those in power violate their own moral understanding of what is right. Jonathan Shay talks about three components. One is there is a betrayal of what's right by someone who holds legitimate authority in a high-stakes situation. Within a warfare situation, it's pretty obvious and you can see it. The internal conflict that might arise when you're being told to do something that would cause human suffering to another person, especially innocent people. And they said it's more of an existential crisis that happens over time, and time and again, you're put in these moral quandaries as a military person. And military studies show that it's exacerbated in those places where military leadership is weak or more immoral. The impact on the body can be a crippling shame, guilt, and anger that overwhelms a person's ability to cope and understand the world around them. In a book entitled Soul Repair, Recovering from Moral Injury, published by the UUA's Beacon Press, authors Rita Nakashima Brock and Gabriella Latini describe moral injury as the soul in anguish. The soul in anguish. And although the scale is different, it's not hard to translate how moral injury in times of warfare. It's not hard to translate moral injury in that context of warfare with what is happening in our country right now. And that's where I felt my own body stirring in response. Our arguably legitimately elected leaders are betraying what many of us know to be true in our souls. The dismantling of climate agreements, along with countless acts that dehumanize vulnerable segments of our population, are creating dangerous, high-stakes situations for people and our entire planet. So counter to the basic understandings of just common decency, so counter to our UU principles, especially the inherent worth and dignity of all people, especially our emphasis on an ethically implemented democratic process, and especially the respect for all of life. and our deep knowing that we all rise or fall together, every creature on earth. That's the moral dissonance that I feel we are living in right now. This is not the way we were meant to live as a species. I know it in my bones. I feel it in my anguished soul. And perhaps you do too. And a lot of effort needs to get spent to push away that tension that we have when we know and we experience the tiny onslaughts day after day after day that are coming in and don't make sense to us on a fully embodied, ensouled way. This is a time of moral dissonance. It's that where the inner and the outer are not making sense. And it could be as a human species, we've lived that way in all times. But this is our time, and we are living that way. And it's painful. And it's painful. Now, there are no clinically proven therapeutic remedies, no quick fixes for moral injury or its lesser forms of suffering, this moral dissonance or moral stress. Rita Nakashima Brock and Gabriella Latini, both of whom I studied with at Star King School for the Ministry, so you can see their Unitarian thread within their work. They ask in their book, what would it mean to reclaim our personal and collective moral integrity? How do we go about doing that? How do we go about bringing things back into alignment? And they talk about the starting place being just able to name that, and for veterans, for providing them those safe places, especially to name that. But we have to create those places to name where we feel paralyzed by that soul anguish and transform it so it can be a catalyst for both systemic change, the systemic change we need in the world, and to bolster our collective moral conscience. So we become a people that does not act, that acts more in accordance to what we know deep down is right. We need both individual and collective dialogue to place, quote, morality, justice, and human dignity at the center of public attention and expose the collective amnesia, which continues to live with that gap. And this is where our congregation comes in. This is where this congregation comes in. Environmentalist Cal DeWitt defines religion as the passion to live rightly on earth and to spread right living. I really kind of like that, the passion to live rightly on earth and to spread right living. But I would add the communal aspect to the word religion, because religion at its core means religio, to bind together, to bring people together to live rightly and to spread right living on earth, to help us elevate our understanding of a moral consciousness, a collective moral consciousness, so that we as people, can diminish our own suffering and the suffering of the world. We know we can't do this alone. We know that this is collective work. Buddhist activist Joanna Macy writes, if the world is to be healed through human efforts, I am convinced that it will be ordinary people whose love for this life is even greater than their fear. Can we make it so that our love for this life, that we can connect to the joy of living more deeply than the fear, because that which we love, we will fight fiercely to protect. But when we are in a place of anguish, everything gets diminished. Our capacity to love more deeply and our capacity that gets diminished, as well as our desire to decrease the pain of that anguish. But that's what we do here every week. We try and lift up the love we have for one another. We come to soothe our weary souls and proclaim that love is greater than fear, and to support one another to live rightly on the earth. You all inspire me routinely to live rightly. And I am so grateful for that. We come here to heal ourselves and to heal others. And we come because we find the joy in being together. And because of the power that it feels to be a part of something where you're creating something bigger than any of us can do on our own. Joy and active hope in our gatherings. We need one another to live rightly and inspire others to live rightly as well. I want to pause here for a moment and let you hear the words from our members as they spoke last year about the justice making and the power of being together. So please watch our video.